You know, getting back to this meeting, do you remember at all what some of the significant points were that the speakers were making about land use on Burnaby Mountain?
I guess most of them would be talking about how SFU was given the mandate to be there, and it was only cost $1 for them to have the land. It's just a token. $1 was the lowest you can go. And the university, I guess, had been raising their money themselves and through the government. And then the university decided that they wanted to sell the conservation lands because they weren't getting enough money to do the things they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And these people were all probably talking to the point that the conservation lands were established not to ever be developed, and that the university should be focusing on its development plans and fundraising in other ways.
Was there any sympathy for the university's position? I guess in the 1980s, financial position of universities had become very critical. Grants from the province had decreased. And they essentially were the landowners, and the city was zoning it for parkland, limiting not only what they could do on the conservation lands, but what they could do on the inside of the ring road. It was zoned for as an educational institution only. And when they talked about 100-year leases, you know, for development of the village proposal, the city objected to that as well within the ring road. So, given the position of the university, was there any sympathy for them at all?
Well, there's always people on both sides of every issue. But the university's people in charge of development, they were very, you know, sure that this was a good way to go with the development. And if you look at UBC and the SFU up there, they're no different than any city. They all exist based on growth. If they don't have growth, they go stagnant. And if that's just the way our societies are everywhere. So once they take that direction, then there's no stopping it. It just goes and goes and goes. And they all keep seeing that the more we develop, the more funding that is going to come out of this, the more money for funding, putting on school programs, and it just keeps growing and growing. Then you get to a point where maintenance comes in. Then it takes more and more and more maintenance. And then they say, well, we've got to develop more and more and sell more and more. It's a very vicious circle. Uh-huh. And the governments don't fund the universities to the point where they don't need to develop areas or to fundraise. They have to do that if they want to become, you know, a bigger, better university type thing.
Right. So the university was in kind of a tight spot. So your feeling was that they were quite adamant then about protecting their right to development on the mountain. They weren't were they not very approachable at that time?
Well, they let me approach them, but they had never let me approach them in person. I presented them with lots of different things over the years, and never really hearing back from them, except for when they talked to the city.
Would they talk to the society at all?
Not very much. Okay. Not very much. I could show you one of the things I presented to them, and it was commercial planning, a community plan for the university on their existing lands that they had already.
Yes, I understand that one idea you had was that they should just be building or densifying over the old heritage buildings.
Yep.
And you felt okay about that.
Oh, yeah. No problem. I was in construction for 25 years, so I know exactly what I was talking about. And I, you know, took drafting when I was young, so I could draw them pictures that were pretty simple to look at, but they meant quite a bit.
The buildings, the Erickson buildings, the ones that were built in 64, 65, they become landmarks in themselves and a kind of a value as heritage. Does that concern you? Or
they're even in movies because of their originality.
Yes.
But some of the areas are very run down. They're very inefficient for energy-wise, for providing space for people to do things. He had a, I don't know, not a love, but he had a will of using a lot of concrete. And everything he built is just massive amounts of concrete. And that took away from being able to renovate or add on and things like that very easily. But there was ways that you could do it in a big way.
Hmm.
And I had drawings to them that show that they could easily triple the size of a university without moving a foot off of its original pads.
Did other members of the society agree with you? Were they different opinions?
Yeah, they could see it quite easily.
Uh-huh. In those early years, say 1988 to 1990, were the society members optimistic about reaching their goal of preserving Burnaby, the parkland on Burnaby Mountain? I'm just wondering how tenuous were the claims of the municipality against the claims of the university.
I think that our group found out in a matter of a year that we would probably have this settled a lot easier than what we thought, because the public was so much on our side.
Uh-huh.
And even the people that worked at SFU, the people that worked in the city hall, and the provincial government, the federal government, whoever we approached, they saw the good in what we were saying.
So the society was a bit surprised that it took until 1995 then for the negotiations to resolve the problem?
Not really, because what was going to result was probably about $3 billion worth of development occurring after that date. And with that kind of a development, there has to be a real lot of planning going in behind all this. So the city, he didn't really hear or see too much about what was going on, but they all knew that the changing of the zoning up there would result in the city having more say in what's going up there, and the inspectors and taxing and stuff like that.
So that was one of the parts of the resolution that the society really wanted to see, was that the city would have a positive effect on the kind of development.
Yeah, they thought that would be a good thing, but again, the conservation lands was the number one focus of the group.
Okay.
Like the individual members, such as myself, with giving them ideas for densification, I did that mainly on my own to the Board of Governors, just because they were saying that they had run out of land and couldn't grow and things like that. They're making statements that were so easy to contest and show an opposite viewpoint.